Welcome to the Drone's Garage. I'm Jacob Orchard.
And I am Guada Casuso.
And today, right, you're going to show us how to connect our drones to the internet.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So what we're going to be talking about is how you can connect any kind of drone to cloud services. And of course, we're going to be talking about Azure Cloud Services. So first thing that we need to learn and speak about is how we're going to connect the drones to the cloud itself. And there are different modalities.
Okay.
So what we've been, what we've been showcasing in the last shows is about how you use a drone like the DJI one or the Parrot one that use a controller, basically, to access different services.
Right, okay.
So here, this is one of the first scenarios that we have. In fact, we have the drone talking to the controller and through an app, being able to access some services or even getting some firmware updates or anything that is needed for the maintenance of the platform.
All right.
We have another scenario that is starting to appear where we have dual connectivity. So we have connectivity from the drone to the controller and also from the drone to the cloud.
Okay.
And this is because drones are starting to get smarter and smart. So this connectivity can happen through a local area network, or you can think about directly to the internet. And in a third scenario is where really the connectivity goes from the drone to the cloud itself, and there is no need to go through the ground controller. And maybe even you have like a remote ground controller and that is giving some commands or providing some flight mission capabilities and information to the cloud, and that the cloud is directly managing and helping the operation of the UAVs or drone itself.
Cool.
So drones are starting to get more and more smart, and this second part enables us real-time scenarios. Because what happened here is that if you think about this all post-processing information and
right.
you just rely on the latency that you will have between the ground controller and the drone itself. So we are totally changing now how things can be done, and there is, of course, a huge potential. And this is enabled an area that I really, really like, that is artificial intelligence, vision features on the drones itself. So we have some, today we have some cameras that are plugged to the drones itself and where you can basically do deep learning in the drone. So let's say that you can capture a lot of telemetry data and you can do local processing. And after that, you can basically feed the cloud or you can send any kind of information to your ground controller, do the processing. Different architectures that, again, let you go to real-time services. That is what business today are needing to have more that real communication. And this interchange can be based on telemetry data, video images, and think about like all the potential that you can have there. And in fact, there are some drones today. One of that is the Intel that is using some boards that let you do deep learning. You also have NVIDIA, and I think DJI will come out something soon with that. So platforms are really, really invested.
So they're involving the flight controllers and the platforms to be able to accomplish this, right?
Totally. So. And if you think about it, it's a natural path.
Yeah.
Because we really, really want that real-time operation, where
right.
in the future is not just the drone's isolated operation, it's just the drone being part of a network where they are going to dial between them, right? So that is something that will be enabled here. And I really like this, and in fact, I got this from DJI in the last presentation that we have together. And I really like the way in which they capture the flow, very, very simple. So what you have mainly is data capture, because why we talk about IoT here? Because we see drones as mobile collectors of information. So you do data capture, then you do data processing and you do execution. Think about just the precision agriculture scenario that we have several times. So you capture all the data, you just get all the terrain, you get the maps coverage, and based on that, you do the processing where you said, okay, I want just to cover this land, what is the flying mission that I'm going to have, what is the best, I apply the best algorithm based on efficiency, the weather, other conditions. And once I get that, I upload that information to the drone itself, and then it's where the mission is executed. And why is precision? Because I can send the drone maybe to do a mapping first, and then go back with all the information, and based on that information, I can send a drone to a sprint. So basically, that is why, and it will spread in the areas that really need that operation. Okay. That is why it's precision and that is efficient. And of course, you
can make decisions in the cloud after you upload it. It processes again and then makes another decision to go back and do something a second time.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. That's the point. And if you can do that real time, I think it's amazing, right? So think about like all the potentiality there. So again, why UIVs and IoT? Just refresh some things here. What we are seeing is that today there are different scenarios that are requiring very common services. And that common services today can be accomplished by IoT services. So think about a fleet of drones or just an isolated drone that needs to be communicated to a cloud infrastructure.
Okay.
Further things that you need to take care of is all the ingestion of the data, right? So you need to capture all the telemetry data. You will probably, before that, need to provision your drones. Because if you are managing a fleet, you have to have a way in which you're going to identify which message belongs to which drone,
right?
So the provisioning part is going to be super important, and adding to that the security part.
Okay.
So you will need identity, registry of the drones itself. The other thing is you have to manage when the drones are connected or not, because some drones will lose connectivity. How you monitor when they are connecting, when they are sending messages, all the traceability, that is the important part too. Of course, you will need an extreme processor, because not a problem if you're running one or five drones, but when you have a fleet of drones, like think about just military scenarios or like delivery now, that is going to be huge, you will need to manage like tons of drones. And for that, you will need a stream processor to scale the numbers of like even messages that you need to do in real time. And you can, after that, you can connect to backend services. You can store that information and do maybe some analytics like machine learning, post-processing, part of like the Lambda pads, like a hot pad and batch part. And after all that, you can visualize the information through any dashboard or reports or like even VR devices, whatever really suits your scenario. So for that, what we are going to use for now moving forward, what we said, we will be focusing in Azure IoT Hub, okay?
What is the Azure IoT Hub?
I knew you were going to ask it.
I don't know what it is, so you tell me all about it.
Perfect. So basically, Azure, as I mentioned before, is a Microsoft cloud platform. Okay. And if you see, these are all the services that are part of Azure today.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And we have two models. One is the infrastructure model, where basically you have main components. One is compute, there are virtual machines, basically. You have a storage, you have networking, and you have like another components that enrich that, but mainly that are the three main pieces.
Okay.
The thing is, you have to manage that services.
Right. Okay? That's the part that I know, because that's traditionally what I've used
before. That's a traditional one. And then we have a lot of platform services where you have from security management, you have compute in a platform model, you have services for mobile. And then what is important for us in this session is you have the analytics and IoT. And in that part, you have IoT Hub that basically lets you capture events and do massive scale processor. All the features that I was mentioning before do the provisioning of devices, and in this case are going to be the drones itself, manage the authentication, help scalability, communication between the drones to the cloud and the clouds to the drone, because you want to send controls back, right? Commands back. So that is basically
it's sort of like you have these traditional devices like servers, computers, and all that stuff. And then IoT Hub allows you to connect non-traditional devices that you can then program and still have them talk to Azure and collect all the telemetry and data and stuff you want and put it
and
part of that rich infrastructure.
Yeah, and what is important, we are going to see these patterns, but you are able to capture not only like non-traditional or new devices. It really depends on what protocols are you using, if the devices are connecting to the internet or no. If you want to do like local processing in a local area network, maybe you need a gateway. But finally, you will get all that ingestion of data using this cloud gateway that then will enable you to connect to other components. But basically, opens, and I think that it helps facilitate the device's connectivity overall. So think about, now we are talking about drones here, of course, but you can connect a lot of different devices.
Yeah, because when you talk Internet of Things, it's not just drones, it's tons of devices.
It's an ecosystem of, exactly. And just to touch, because this is something that we are going to be in the provisioning, is the cloud services today are in more than 30 regions, in fact, worldwide. So if you are running any of these services, you can do the deployments of your services, I don't know, let's say in Brazil, and then you can have part in US, you can have part in Asia, and we're opening data centers all the time.
Right.
So any service that you deploy, if you have a company or you have customers in another place, you are able to manage where that services are going to be provisioned and served from. So you can scale, right? So that is important. And another point of IoT Hub too is that first of all, work with any device. And the reason why I'm giving this is like, from the experience that we are having with the drones, you have different platforms. You have a lot of Linux, you have Yocto distribution. But what is important, you also, and I was mentioning to Jacob, is you have the possibility of connect the drone directly to the internet or connect the ground controller. And if you have the ground controller, one thing is you can have iOS, Android, you name it.
Yeah,
right?
They're all different platforms. Like you don't know which one. So there's different, how do you get the different SDKs and all that stuff all connected together, right?
Exactly, That's a point. It's like you really need a way in which you are independent of the client platform itself, right? The device that is going to be connected. So we have support for different devices, different language, and you can choose whatever you prefer, the operating systems, and then the protocols, and that scales to different solution and integration of third party. And all that basically and is to be able to access the endpoint. So let's think about the reference architecture. And again, we are just trying to relate here their UIVs or drones scenarios to a general IoT architecture, right?
Okay.
Because really, it's not that different in a lot of senses, right? You have to manage probably different telemetry data, or you need to manage more localization awareness information. But at the end, you need to manage devices,
right?
And to be able to help them communicate. So if you think about this, and let me just give the last one. So this is the way in which today we pitch, and this is the reference for the an IoT scenario.
Okay.
Where, as you mentioned, let's go to the more advanced one. That is, you have the UIVs connecting directly to the internet.
Okay.
So you can directly send all the telemetry data and any information to IoT Hub.
Okay.
And then you can just do, again, use Lambda architectures, or you can have some business logic and send data back, or you can have all the provisioning and management, see if the devices are connected, all the authentication, etc. So that is if you have directly connection to the internet. In fact, now I think that Verizon and AT&T, they start offering LTE devices for connectivity for drones. So that is something that is definitely coming.
So you can have like a cell phone connection right in the drone, and it's just sending right to the internet automatically for you.
Exactly. So what they're going to have is cheap. I don't have like the details on the implementation, something that we need to research.
Yeah.
But they're starting to announce their support for this. Well, they are doing some tests on drones.
Cool.
That's going to be interesting.
Very interesting.
And then the second one is that you can connect to the internet, but before you need some kind of protocol adjustment or translation.
Okay.
Because we currently support several protocols, but it may be one that is very proprietary.
Yeah.
So you need to add some logic here. And then is the devices that they don't have connectivity to the internet. Currently, Phantom, all the DJI lines that we are using for the demos and shows are the ones that goes in this path where we really need the controller to act as a field gateway. I think that the majority of the drones that we are using today lands in this scenario,
right,
the commercial ones, right? So, but what is interesting is like through a gateway, a field gateway, you are able to access the IoT hub.
And we did, we showed kind of how to do that
in
previous episodes,
yeah,
where you hooked up the computer, you had your phone device connected to the controller, and you were sending commands to the drone, and that's this way that you're talking about.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. That is exactly the scenario that we are talking here. And something important is we're going to show you how you can connect from the DJI SDK to the IoT hub.
Okay.
So how you map that to work.
All
that's
right.
Going to be interesting. So just going very quickly on another point here is make sure this can be scalable to multiple devices. You can support the authorization authentication. You can also do the monitoring. Again, the connectivity, I think, is super important, even more if you are talking about drones here.
Yeah.
And the last thing is all the IoT protocols, device resource optimization. Something that I wanted to point, because we had this discussion, I think, a couple of weeks ago with some colleagues, is about what architecture are you going to suggest if you have the possibility of the drones connected to the internet, okay? So maybe that you don't necessarily have to send that, even when you have the capabilities to send to the internet all the time. And this lands to a similar scenario today with any IoT case in which you have to make an architecture decision in which you are going to do the processing locally, and you are going to call an endpoint one is really needed, because you want to avoid as much as possible the round trips to the cloud.
Right? Okay.
So you have to really, like when you are thinking about this solution and IoT scenario, think about where are you going to put the logic. Okay, you cannot rely everything in the cloud.
It could be something where you send commands to the drone, and it goes out and does something, take pictures, maps
exactly,
and then comes back. And when it comes back, that's when it sends a bunch of the stuff. It's not, maybe not doing it real time, but then the IoT could process that and maybe send a different drone to go do something else as a result
after
of the data that the first one captured, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that is something that we will start seeing, where basically drones are going to start talking with themselves and being able to add redundancy. Because just think about a scenario where you need to cover an area, you're doing monitoring or you're doing security,
right,
and you want to make sure that the drones collaborate.
Right.
Basically, to accomplish a mission. If some of them fails, another has to back up the scenario, how one loses connectivity, how they relies in the other one, you will have local gateways, and then all that data can be sent or synced to internet or any cloud service itself.
Right.
And the other thing is, like, even when the drones are going to be connected to the internet, these connections are not necessarily 100% reliable. With the phones happens today, right? You have sometimes saying, no, the same thing will happen here.
Cool.
Okay? So, but great stuff to use IoT Hub in this scenario. And this is more like details on what I was mentioning before is, the device will connect to a, first of all, device to the cloud,
okay,
endpoint. So that is how everything is managed in IoT Hub itself. You will have endpoints that are going to be exposed. So basically, you can give some dialogue to the cloud and then receive some information back. And then there is all this backend logic, where again you can do the event processing and you can use technologies like Azure Stream Analytics, that we will see something around that. You can use HD Insight, you can use a Storm. It really depends on your solution and your preferences.
And if you want to get started, you're going to get to a demo of how we're going to do this, but you want to get to device to cloud first so you can start seeing what information you have, right? And the cloud to device
will came out later.
A little more complicated. You want to make sure you're careful with that.
Oh, yes.
Especially when we're talking drones. So collecting data and then seeing what to do with the logic in the back end is something, you know, you're super interested in yourself, right? And you, and then back the other way is something you'll have to do after you process whatever logic you want to do on the back end.
Absolutely. Okay. And I think that even in the, I would say, free flying or racing scenario, is just be able to get all that data and see even bad or in a hot pad to see how your drone is performing, like see the logs, the monitor, get like when do you need to change the battery or no. I think that that are all great things to
Because we did a show with Josh on black box, right?
Oh,
and we talked a little bit about black box. And so this would be like, if you could take the black box stuff we did that's there today in the drones and then get this functionality, you can open up a whole new world of a lot of different telemetry and analytics you could do about your drone. And just imagine if you're racing drone, every time you flew it,
you
all this
improve.
Stuff was just pushed to the cloud for you automatically.
Absolutely.
Right? And then you don't even have to look at it. And then sometime later you can come back and go, I had this issue. And but you have all this historical data to show you how that thing performed the whole time you owned it, right? Which
Absolutely.
Would be very interesting.
Totally. And I think that that is something that is a huge opportunity today, I think, to be able to measure.
Yeah.
And if you can get all this data, as you said, and then you can store this information and use machine learning or just to start like doing some queries in SQL to realize some patterns, I think that you will gain a lot of advantage over the current manual scenarios where we are able to get the logs and stuff, but you really cannot correlate with the time, and maybe you can integrate a third-party service like weather.
Right.
So you can start realizing. And that is more or less some of the algorithms that today are applied by a lot of the commercial solutions that we see in the market. So that is absolutely a part. And I want to reinforce again, one of the huge, because you can do this with any other service that is no IoT hub, of course, right?
Right.
You can do manually start using any service bus technology, or you build your own code here. But the advantage is you have an integral service, and also you have, for me, the device provisioning and management is a huge piece because
saves you all sorts of time because it's built
totally.
Into the Azure services.
Yeah, and the reality is we need to be aware that security in IoT space and with the drones, as we progress in like increase the number of drones that we are going to have in our cities and in our lives, it's going to be super important. It's like you don't want someone to hack your drone, or do you want to like really be able to identify from what drones came every message and stuff and do traceability. So that part is also as part of IoT Hub, and I think it's a great thing. So now I want to show you one thing in the portal itself of Azure. That is how we are going to basically do this hands-on. So I like your point, Jacob, on how do you start this? Okay, so we have seen how do you open an SDK of a drone platform, and you are able to access all the sensor data, like the flight controller serial number, etc. So that's one thing, no matter what platform you're using, you have to be able to code in the client side to capture all that information. Then it depends on your client platform, if it is the UIV or if it is the ground controller, what you need to find is a way in which you can connect that to IoT Hub. And you can do that through any SDKs, as we mentioned. And after you get the right SDK and you get that connectivity, another part is to be able to get access to the IoT Hub. First thing, you have to provision your IoT Hub.
You have to provision
it
so it knows where to go. Okay.
So we have here, this is the Microsoft Azure portal where we have all the services that we have seen in the previous slide. And one of the things that you can do, the first thing is basically provision an IoT Hub itself. So the process is very, very simple. You have, again, related to the same slide we see under intelligence, under Internet of Things here, what you will have is IoT Hub, okay? So you provision your IoT Hub, This should be, the blades should be load fast. You name it, you can have a pricing and tire that you want to use. You can have the IoT units, and there's a lot of documentation about IoT Hub, so I'm not going to enter like very deep on this, but we will provide you some links to understand what are the units. But these are all basically the units of scalability. As much devices or drones you have to connect to the cloud itself, you will need to increase these numbers as well as the partition. But basically, you provision, you provide your subscription name, that is, the subscription is part of, I would say, when you ask for an Azure account, you need to get a subscription associated to that, and you select the plan. So that is the subscription name that I have here. Resource group that will let me group the resources that I have inside my environment in one atomic unit, and this is for maintenance. And again, all this is information that we will provide you as a, I would say, complementary of this session. So you just go to the portal, you provide an IoT Hub, and I'm going to show the cooked IoT Hub that we are going to use for here. So let me
You already have one set up that you're gonna use.
Yes, so because this will take us some time. So I have one here that basically, in fact, I have a resource group, okay? And remember, the resource group will let you group several components today. So the first one that I was mentioning is the IoT Hub. So I have one here, and I also have a CC, a SQL Server, a database, and a storage account, a stream analytics, because this is going to be a huge part of a solution, and we will start for this one. So in the IoT Hub itself, if you see here, what I have is I have a hosting name, I have a pricing tier that I selected. I just select one unit today, and I will have also different partitions. And you see the number of messages that I have interchanged. You see the monitoring. Something that you can check is the activity, how you access to your IoT Hub, the different roles that you will have for people to manage it. And what is very important, we were talking about access share policies, or how do I manage the access to the different devices and the service itself, right? So this service provide me a possibility to get keys. So what I will do is every time that I want to consume from any client using an SDK, I will need to provide the keys of their platform itself, the service itself. And I have different roles where I can be the IoT Hub owner. So I am able to write, connect the device. I have full control, basically. And then I have other more granular roles that will let me access to specific functionalities.
So if you want someone just to be able to read the data but not be able to do anything with it, you could control the security through there.
Exactly. And we normally want to write from the device itself too. Okay. Because what you will need basically first is to register the device and then basically to operate it. So you get all that information, all that data. Now let me go, for example, to the IoT Hub owner, and I will show you what you have. You have the share key, and you will have the primary key, secondary key. So you will need that information again to connect. Once you provision,
And you're doing this all through the UI.
Doing this all through UI.
So there are other ways that you could do this as well, right? Like you could, there's different options in case you're someone in program and you're like, I don't want to do this through the UI. So there are other ways to do this as well?
Yes. So, and that is super, super good point. As I mentioned a lot resource group, because resource groups are a huge component of our Azure Resource Manager model now that lets you access to any of these devices through APIs. So any of these services through APIs. So what that means is that you can use PowerShell, you can use CLI, you can use the third-party tools to do the provisioning of all these services. Okay? So all can be done by code if you don't like the portal itself.
Okay.
Yep.
That's cool.
So once you get the provisioning of IoT Hub and this service, and you get, first of all, you get the host URI of your IoT Hub, and you get the keys, what you're going to do is basically you are going to program your client side. So Let me show you here what I have as I have a simulator. We have a simulator for us. Things that we cannot have these drones flying here. I wish. Maybe we can have like 10 for the next time.
Yeah.
But for now, we are going to simulate the environment. Yes.
We didn't even bring a drone to have on the table today.
Yes, exactly. So what this simulator is going to do, basically, is going to send telemetry to IoT Hub itself. And if you see here, yes, I will have some provisioning, and then you will see that I am sending some random velocity data, battery, if the GPS mode is on or not. I am sending the temperature of the different motors. So I can definitely help a lot with different parameters and information that we normally see in the sensors in the drone. And in fact, this is the same thing that you've been probably capturing in the session that you did before with Josh.
Yeah.
Where you are getting
it's a very
all
similar
this
type
information.
Of data.
Yes.
Right.
And the drones can be different, but you have very similar sensors itself, right?
What are the motors doing? How's the gyro acting?
Exactly.
Temperature, all that stuff.
So, all that stuff. So you get all the telemetry data from there, and this is just a simulator. So if we go to the code now, what you can see basically is you can see that we are using the registry keys that we showed you before. So that's one part. And the second thing that is going to be necessary is we are setting up, we have some classes here where we have the flight logs that basically you just get all that information, you generate a JSON object, and then you just send it all that information to the cloud itself. And something that I wanted to show you here is how easy it is today. We are using NuGet packets to consume the IoT Hub SDK. And what you can see here is what we are doing is we're just generating the flight log object, as I mentioned. We are creating the device client, and we are sending the events, and then we are just closing connections, and this operates asynchronously. And of course, the same thing that we are creating the device and then sending this telemetry data, and also we can delay the device, of course, and all what it is related to the management of the device and the messages itself.
Cool.
Something very important too is, and we can configure several parameters in Event Hub where you can say how long you want the messages to live in the hub and to manage how many messages are going to have. All that today is configurable and is going to be important as your solution grow. So yeah. I turn it off again, this, Jacob, because
okay.
I want to show you, like, as part of the tooling that IoT Hub provides, that provides today, we also have a device explorer. So let's say that you are provisioning the device, and in fact, I have 10 already here. And one of the things is you are able to access all this information from a tool itself. So you can see if they are connected or no, if they are enabled, when was the last connection, and when they send that information. And this is all information that came from the devices connecting to the IoT Hub, right?
Okay.
So that is all my devices. And something that I can do is, for example, I want to go and check the data. And what I have here is I have the Event Hub, I have the start time where I want to collect that data, and then I have itself what is the device ID. I'm just using one random, but you can see all this information is basically coming from the simulator. Okay,
right.
So it's the simulator, imagine the simulator with all the drones sending the telemetry data, and I am just visualizing that here. Okay.
And you're capturing your data from the drone to
from
the cloud.
The drone. Exactly. And super simple, you just get the SDK, you provision the IoT Hub, get the credentials there, and you start sending that data.
Cool.
Okay? No
Very
problem.
Nice.
So till here, we have one part. Let me just cancel and stop everything. And one thing that we can do today, and as part of, I think it didn't stop, as part of the services, remember that when I showed the resource group, I also had another services associated to that. So one one very important is going to be the stream processing. So for that, what we have is we have Azure Stream Analytics itself. That is this service that I have here.
Okay.
So Azure Stream Analytics operates on getting some input data and then do some processing. And that processing can be just a query or it can be a transformation, and then storing that information in another source. For example, a database. That's so, the simple one,
so
right?
So you had provisioned a SQL database in your resource group,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So I have all that here. So if you see here my query, I have the inputs. And yeah, let me just put it this. So I have the inputs that basically is going to be the hub. I have the query, and then I have the outputs. And in fact, I have two outputs here because I just want one relational, and then I want table storage that is not relational.
Okay.
So I have the IoT hub, and then in my query that is super simple, I took all that JSON telemetry data, and basically I am filtering in some fields that I am interested in and inserting that in the SQL.
Into your SQL database.
Yep. Super simple, and what I have is, I guess I have a SQL database that it has a model defined. I have a lot of nodes because I didn't filter all the fields, but I have the fly logs, the fly ID, the longitude, the temperature of the motors, the battery, etc. So I just added two more components to the scenario. That is, once I get the data in the IoT hub, I am using Azure Stream Analytics for the stream processor, and then I capture all that data in SQL.
And this gives you the ability to have historical data from the devices that are sending it to your to your Internet of Things hub.
Exactly. Yeah. So super simple. Like, honestly, once you have that, you can do whatever you want, right, on
right.
that. And you can start again. Moving forward, you can start seeing like more real-time analytics and processing. But just this will let you manage like when do I need to change that motor because it's overheating, and
right.
I am realizing that from the last flights.
Or battery levels.
Of
or
battery levels.
Levels
yeah,
and stuff
totally,
like that.
totally. One last thing that I want to show is about the SDK. How
right.
do you integrate
so how
that?
Do you get the DJI SDK
into
the Internet of Things.
Yep.
So let me
show you that because we need to switch to the iOS environment.
Right, so we're going to swap. Map. You're going to come over here. Well, I'll stand over here this time.
Yeah, I think that they are going to. So, okay. So for this.
So now we're in iOS.
Let's switch totally works here.
Okay.
So I'm sure you remember the coding that we did with Divya, in fact,
right.
where we opened the SDK itself. So very simple, we added two classes that are networking classes.
Okay.
So they are able to communicate basically to REST services because guess what? We don't have a way in which we can communicate iOS with IoT Hub using the SDK, but we have REST services.
Okay.
So that is fantastic. We're using the SDK, and as you can see here, what I'm having is a way in which I am defining, that's a URI. I'm just saying that this drone is identifying itself at drone zero. You can do this more dynamic and basically manage something generic, but you can send the messages itself, and I'm just capturing the serial number for this testing thing. And I'm just basically hitting the same event hub, and that is going to be processed. So very simple, I just have this class, and I am using REST services itself. Super
easy. Simple.
Yeah, super easy. Let's change to this one. I want to show something. So these are the REST services that I was mentioning. Is what you can do is exactly the same functions that I was mentioning before. You can create new services, delete the identities. You can basically send messages. Everything that you are doing with the SDK is also available through the API. So
very
super
cool.
simple.
It's very simple. So you're basically going and you're saying, hey, I have different SDKs. It could be DJI, it could be Parrot, it could be 3DR.
Exactly.
And you're just creating REST events that push all this stuff to your Internet of Things hub, and then you're collecting the data that way.
Yeah, and you can use REST for some devices. You can use the SDK if you have it available for others. You are really not limited. And again, you can choose around how to connect and in which part you're going to connect, if in the gateway or in the drone itself. Like, you can manage that based on your scenario. But at the end, think about you are a company, right? Or you have a club and you have all these free flight people, racing people,
right?
And you have different platforms there. You cannot manage that, right? So if you find a way in which you are totally isolated of what is going on the client side, but you are able to connect, then you can really, really understand the telemetry data from what devices came. What are, again, the different performance levels, how you can measure that, when you need to change. So many things that you can do just using a couple of services in IoT.
Awesome.
Yeah, fantastic.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to
point
out? No,
I think that we are good and we have a lot of content today. So we will send you a summary of the links with all these. So if you want to go deep in IoT Hub, or if you can, if you want, we will publish also the code for accessing using the SDK, the DJI SDK, to have a sample there. And next session on programming is going to be about programming for Parrot, in fact.
Oh, nice.
Yeah? So, yes, in that case, we are going to have some drones flying, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's going to be mini drones, but we will show you how you can do sample commands, and then we can connect to the cloud them too.
Very cool.
So that's going to be interesting. And maybe we can talk about the disco. What do you think?
We could talk about the disco,
our disco
adventures of flying the disco out at 60 acres.
Yeah, well, we have a good story on that.
Yeah, we have a good story for that one.
Definitely, it would be great. But well, that's all for today. Thanks, God, for joining one more time. And please, fly safe.
Fly safe.